Hey folks, Dan Ferrier here with your closing bell for September 4th, 2024. So mortgage rates eased a little bit more. Let's refresh this and see if that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets, folks, but it's going to continue to go down even further. How do I know that? Well, the bond market, the MBS market is rallying right now. It's up 23 ticks. What does all this mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's video. So we just finished a live YouTube event, and we talked about, you know, what's going to happen when the Federal Reserve cuts rates and all this other stuff. Highly suggest you guys visit us at the live events because you can ask questions right on the fly. You know, why this going on? Why that going on? So in today's report, we're going to talk about the jobs reports that's coming out this week because it's playing a major role in where interest rates go from here. And then you're going to see a lot of information coming out now that the yield curve is flattening. And some people are going to say, well, when the yield curve is inverted, there's a recession. And then when a yield curve uninverts, well, that signals a recession. So I want to talk to you guys about that as well. But there, I have a video to show you, like I usually do on a daily basis, going over the jobs report, where that's going to be. And also, they do briefly talk about the yield curve. So I thought this would be interesting for you guys. So let's get over to the video. You can watch that. And then when we come back, we're going to tie all this up so you guys can understand exactly what's going on. Because between the next 48 hours, there's major data coming in that could play a huge role in housing. So let's get to the report right now in regards to the jobs report that's coming up. What should we expect? Well, take it away.
America Securities Head of U.S. Economics, Aditya Bhave, joins us now. Welcome. It's good to have you. We got that job openings report, which was pretty weak compared to expectations. Now, lowest number of openings since January 2021. How does that make you think about what we're going to see for the August jobs report and beyond?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. So this was certainly a slightly soft jobs report. As you mentioned, job openings were a little bit weaker than expectations. And more importantly, the longer trend, term trend in job openings has been clearly to the downside, right? So Chair Powell made the point at Jackson Hole that the labor market now looks a little bit cooler than at the end of the previous cycle, just before the pandemic. And you can see this very clearly if you just look at the ratio of job openings to unemployed workers. It's still pretty elevated by historical standards, but it's lower now than where it was in 2018. 2019. In terms of implications for the next print for August that we'll get on Friday, we think it's relatively limited. There were some statistical anomalies in the July data that made it look a little bit worse. So there was a big increase in labor force participation and in temporary layoffs. We expect those factors to get repaid to a certain extent, which should help the unemployment rate move down to 4.2%. And then on non-farm payrolls, the thing that we find really encouraging is the decrease in jobless claims. When we were up at 250,000 earlier in the summer, that was more concerning. Now we're at 230, which is more consistent with a healthy labor market.
Here's what they don't explain, and I can't figure this out. I even brought it up on our live event today, right through here. Remember just not too long ago, a week ago, that they came out and said the labor market added 800,000 less people to the numbers because they did an analysis and there was like 800,000 jobs missing from the report. So how is the unemployment rate not increasing? That's the question that I have, and just nobody seems to be able to answer that. So let's get over to further the interview.
I just mentioned the yield curve, always debatable, the predictive powers of that, although there's a pretty good track record when it's gone negative. It's been there for a few years now and just went positive momentarily this morning. What kind of conclusions do you draw from that and the fact that we are seeing this big sharp bond rally with the 10-year now in 3.7 range?
Right, so we've typically viewed the inversion of, say, the two stands curve as more correlation in terms of its relationship to a recession rather than causation. So we don't really think an inverted curve causes a recession, right? Now, in terms of the recent uninversion, this is very typical when the markets are getting ready for the Fed to cut, or if they think the Fed's going to cut more aggressively than they previously thought. So that was probably the response to jolts. Then typically you get this bullish steepening and then uninversion of the yield curve.
Yes, which is the plan out now. Aditya, thank you very much for joining us. Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people are talking right now about the yield curve. So I thought I would tell you or explain to you guys what it is. This is the headlines that we're seeing today, September 4th. Bond market yield curve returns to normal from inverted state that had raised recession fears. Well, he just said, you know, they don't really concern themselves with the inverted yield curve. But I want you guys to understand what it is. And the best way for me to do this is I love video. Okay, I love video. This is Charles Schwab. There's a link inside of Charles Schwab to explain the yield curve and the inversion and things like that. So I encourage you to watch this section just so you can understand how this works and how a lot of this is playing right into the hands that we're being fed right now. So check it out. I usually don't do two videos at one time, but this is really important to understand the yield curve and the dynamics it has in the equity markets as well as real estate. So let's get over to it so you guys can understand how this all works.
The yield curve allows fixed income investors to compare similar treasury investments with different maturity dates as a means to balance risk and reward. Additionally, investors use its shape to help forecast interest rates. In this video, we'll discuss how to calculate the yield curve, identify its different shapes, and explain what these shapes mean. You calculate the yield curve by plotting treasuries according to maturity date and yield. You can use any combination of maturity dates to form a yield curve. For example, you could combine a 3-month, 1-year, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, and 30-year maturities in a single yield curve. The display of yields across different maturities helps investors measure the risks and potential rewards of treasuries. Lower yields are typically associated with shorter maturities and higher yields with longer maturities. But the application of the yield curve extends well beyond treasuries. Investors also use the yield curve as a reference for virtually all other types of fixed income investments. That's because the actual shape of the yield curve can help provide insight into the future of interest rates. The yield curve has three shapes: upward sloping or positive, downward sloping or inverted, and flat. A positive upward sloping yield curve occurs when yields of shorter maturities are lower than yields of longer maturities. Conversely, an inverted downward sloping yield curve forms when yields of shorter maturities are higher than longer maturities. A flat yield curve results when yields for short and long-term maturities are roughly equal. The yield curve is normally in a positive slope because shorter maturities typically yield less than longer maturities. When the yield curve is in a positive slope, investors might expect economic growth, which can lead to inflation and ultimately higher interest rates. Higher interest rates are negative for longer maturities, so investors demand a higher yield to compensate for this risk. But occasionally, yields of shorter maturities are greater than yields of longer maturities, so the slope of the yield curve turns negative or inverted. An inverted yield curve forms when investors expect economic growth to slow. If economic growth slows, investors might also expect interest rates to fall. These expectations increase the demand for higher yielding maturities, which actually drives the yields of longer maturities lower. Historically, inverted yield curves have been leading indicators of recessions. This was the case well before the financial crisis. Starting in 2006, the yield curve inverted and warned of the coming recession. Now that you understand positive and inverted yield curves, let's look at the third shape, a flat yield curve. This shape forms when yields of short and long maturities are roughly equal. A flat yield curve is usually a transition from positive to inverted, or from inverted to positive. For example, as the financial crisis took hold, the yield curve transitioned from inverted to flat, and then turned positive coming out of the crisis. While changes in the shape of the yield curve can be informative, they don't necessarily translate to taking action in a fixed income portfolio. That's because speculating about the future of interest rates based on the yield curve is risky and can lead some fixed income investors astray from their goals. One way to manage changes in the yield curve is to consider diversifying a fixed income portfolio across maturities and even among different issuers and credit qualities. Another way to consider managing changes is aligning time horizons and risk tolerances with appropriate investments. For example, an investor with a short time horizon and low risk tolerance might invest in a mix of short maturities with high credit quality. Conversely, an investor with a long time horizon and high risk tolerance might be willing to accept more risk with long maturities and low credit quality. Another potential solution to managing changes is laddering bonds, which are fixed income portfolios that can adjust more dynamically to changes in interest rates. These potential solutions are a few ways to manage changes in the yield curve while keeping sights set on your investment goals.
So that should do it for us. So that is the yield curve. So now what I want you guys to understand is the data coming out the rest of this week that will be playing a market role in things. So we have on Thursday, tomorrow, ADP numbers. I'm not too keen on the ADP numbers because for a while there, their numbers weren't correlating with the true numbers that come out on Friday from the government. So right through here, what we have is we have ADP employment numbers coming out tomorrow. And then on Friday, we have actually the federal government's analysis on that. So within the next 48 hours, it's nothing but jobs, jobs, and jobs. And all this data is going to play a major role in all this. Right through here, the speculation is from the CME tool now is there's maybe about almost a 50-50 shot through here that the Federal Reserve may cut rates down to 4.75 to 5.5. That means that would be a 50 basis point cut. There's just little less than a 50% chance of that occurring. But look through here. They're saying at the November meeting, there's almost a 100% chance that rates will be much lower than where they are today. So that's the report we have so far there. The overall market's a little bit of a comeback. We're going to see basically the market's flat today because, well, they're closed today. Is basically they're just waiting for the employment numbers to come out tomorrow. So we have the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ basically just completely flat. The VIX is flattening out just a little bit there. Cryptocurrencies, I added to my position a little bit earlier today, and that was a good choice because I think that might be a short-term bottom there. And some really, really good news, oil prices are just plummeting, and this is going to help inflation dramatically. So it's nothing but really good news when it comes to the interest rate front on all levels that we see today. So you might ask yourself, who are you? So my name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a mortgage person. If you're out there, you're needing a mortgage to maybe buy that first house, buy the first investment property, refinance, just look into any acquisition like that, I'd love to be able to help you. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, so there's no reason why you shouldn't use me. The best way to reach out to me is visit me at therateupdate.com. Here it is. If you're looking to buy that first house, you got to check and see the grant finders up there. There's two different programs in here. If you go through here, there's a national program. You got to check it out. But if you live in the Chicagoland area, and what I mean by that is if you're downtown or in the surrounding suburbs or counties, check this out because there's up to $10,000 assistance if you're looking to buy a house there. But to get the ball rolling, all you have to do is hit the apply now button, or you can scroll down to the bottom of the website and it'll give you our 800 number as well as my email address, and all that information is right there. So thanks so much for watching, guys. God bless. I hope you got something out of today's video. And if you haven't subscribed just yet, please do so. And you could do that right over there. Thanks so much. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning after the jobs report gets posted. Hopefully it's good numbers. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.